All right, just about 16 and a half now after the hour of 6 o'clock. Usually at 6 o'clock, we bring you the Better Health Radio Show. Just a little bit late this evening because we have some other business to attend to. We've got Dr. Renee Boyce, your host of the program, the Better Health Radio Show, on the line via Zoom. And we're going to say a special good evening to Dr. Boyce. Dr. Boyce, good evening.
Hi, good evening, Gregston. Good evening to all of our listeners. Welcome to the Better Health Radio Show. How are you doing, Gregston?
I am not too bad. We're a little bit busy this evening, so we had to push you and your show back just a wee bit. We do apologize to you for that.
Oh, well, certainly we do accept that apology, but understanding that the nation's business is very important as well, so we really do acquiesce.
Indeed.
It's good to be back again this week. I am alone this week. And we will be discussing the first part of a series I've decided to entitle Back to the Basics. One of the things that I have discovered over the years is I think there is a lack of education. It has somehow fallen through the cracks with regards to patient care, and that's not at all an insult to doctors or nurses or lab techs or any of the paramedical professionals, but sometimes there's not enough time. Sometimes the patients don't understand how much you try to explain, but we really do need to get back to educating patients about their health. And on the other hand, as I've always said, that the responsibility of the individual is to understand as much as he or she can about his or her health. So the first in our series today is going to be a cough. What if your cough is not just a cough? And it seems like such a simple thing, a cough. You know, we cough all the time. We cough all the time and we really don't think about it.
Well, we're thinking about it now. We're thinking about it now.
And if I say nothing else for the rest of this show, I have done my job in highlighting the fact that coughing really and truly is an important thing. If we couldn't cough, we could probably die. For example, one of the things that happens when you're choking is that you cough. If you didn't have that cough reflex or that mechanism, many more people would have died from choking. So cough is very important. And we really don't pay much attention to coughing. So what we're going to do this evening is to go through some of the more common causes for coughing. And we hope that at the end of the show that you would have been enlightened. Remember, if you want to give us a call in the studio, 434-1790. And if you prefer to be a little shy or if your message is a little longer, you can send us a WhatsApp. Well, send Gregston a WhatsApp in the studio.
266.
What's it?
4862.
4862. Yes, I had it right, not you.
Yes, you were correct.
4862. So what is a cough? A cough is a reflex mechanism that clears the airways of mucus, irritants, foreign bodies. If you think about driving on the highway, for example, and the vehicle up ahead of you is in dire need of overhauling, and there is a cloud of black smoke, and you take a deep breath in when that person accelerates and you take in this cloud of black smoke, the first thing you start to do is cough and splutter. And that is your body's response to get rid of the irritants, the pollutants in the air. So coughing really and truly, as I said before, is very important. So we can divide coughs into two main categories. Would you like to guess what the two categories are? Thinking about coughs that you might have had in your lifetime.
Give me a hint. Let me see if I can posture, I guess, or something.
Think about the weather.
The environment, if it's
stuffy. Two categories for cough. We live in a tropical country, and there are two types. We have two seasons.
Rainy weather.
We're almost there. Wet and dry.
Okay, fair enough.
What was that? The University of Waterford? Okay.
You're going to start that again? I thought I had given you a break on that. You're back with that? All right, fair enough. Go ahead. My turn will come. Go ahead, dog.
Could not resist. But we're going to categorize coughs into two categories, just for basic understanding. a dry cough and a wet cough. So the dry cough tends to be a very irritating cough, and it's tickly. So it's tickling at the back of the throat, and all the time you're like, that's a dry cough. Fortunately, I cannot demonstrate a wet rattling cough, because thankfully I don't have any of the causes for a wet rattling cough. But you cannot miss a wet cough. It is just that, a wet rattling cough. You can hear the mucus and all the other liquids that might be involved in this cough. So you can't miss a wet cough. So what are the causes? There are so many causes for coughs, and I'm sure that by the time this program is finished, we would not have gone through all the causes that I have listed here. Mm-hmm. But it depends on the age as well. So something that's going to cause a cough in some person who's younger, like somebody who's under 45, for example, would be an upper respiratory tract infection, as opposed to an older person who might have perhaps a pneumonia or maybe an acute bronchitis. So we can also categorize the causes of cough based on the age of the individual. And remember, the topic for this evening is, what if your cough isn't just a cough?
Which leads me, I beg your pardon for interrupting you, to ask you the question before you move on, because you identified dry and wet. From your experience, which is usually the worst of the two?
It depends. You see, quality of life is different things to different people. So, for example, if we're going to talk about a post-nasal drip a little later on in more detail, but if that post-nasal drip is causing you to be hacking and coughing at work, and in this particular COVID climate in which we find ourselves, to cough is almost as great a sin as to curse and tell off somebody. So if you dare cough out in public nowadays, you have committed.
That's what I said. We're noticing it now.
So therefore, it depends on what the problem with the cough is. If it's a dry cough, if it's from your sinuses, well, and that's irritating to you, well, then that's a big thing. If it's a wet cough because you have perhaps pneumonia, or you have bronchiectasis, or you have an acute bronchitis, that's a major cause for you. So it has a lot to do with the individual and the symptoms involved. Okay. So we can't necessarily say that a person who has a wet cough is sicker than a dry cough, because not all dry coughs are benign, or there is no sinister cause behind them. So right. Does that answer your question?
Yes, indeed.
Okay. So you are quite well now, and you find that in the next 2 days or so, you wake up, your throat is a bit itchy. You feel a little tired, and you remember that your son came home from nursery and he had a runny nose. And lo and behold, as children do, they pass whatever they have on to you. We are called and required to love them, and we have to love their germs as well. they're very given, these children. And you find that you have this acute cough, acute meaning that it started all of a sudden. And so when we divide coughs into upper respiratory tract, it makes a difference, because when you hear the doctor tell you that you have an upper respiratory tract infection, what does that mean for you? Is it just some fancy term that the doctor says, you know, to sound all professional? And no, it's just describing which part of the respiratory system that cough is, or where that cough, that infection, sorry, is originating. No, anatomy was one of those subjects in medical school that I could have done without, because I did not need the stress. I didn't. But thankfully, I passed it on my first try, and I was entirely grateful. So upper respiratory tract would be the nose, the nasal passages, the paranasal sinuses. We're going to talk about those. The pharynx, the larynx above the vocal cords. So we can't see our vocal cords by just opening our mouths and saying, we really can't see the vocal cords. They're a little lower down, but that's the defining mark for upper respiratory tract. Anything below the vocal cords is lower respiratory tract. So that's just a division so that we can look at the different causes and the different symptoms. Upper respiratory tract above the vocal cords. So nose, the throat, the nasal passages, anything below. So the lungs, the bronchioles, those structures are in the lower respiratory tract. So let's start with viruses. I think that's quite appropriate, is it not?
Yes, we are accustomed to hearing about virus nowadays. So let's go with viruses.
Yes, so viruses are very common. the thing about viral infections is, in most cases, you don't necessarily know when you've picked up a viral infection until you've developed the symptoms. It's quite easy to avoid persons who are clearly ill, who have the runny eyes and they're sneezing and coughing, which might be a symptom of maybe allergic conditions and so on. But those persons who have the fever and so on, we can avoid them like the plague. But there is the individual who really isn't showing any symptoms and he or she has a viral infection, and not necessarily only COVID-19, but simple viral infections like rotavirus in the smaller children, influenza A and B, and all the regular run-of-the-mill viruses that are running about in public just doing whatever they feel like doing. The thing about cough in viral infections, usually if you are quite healthy, in a matter of days, you would get over this viral infection. So you would have the runny nose, the aching muscles, and so on. And then in tutus, you're back to normal. I remember one of the professors saying that if you treat a viral infection in about a week, you're going to be better. If you don't treat it in about a week, you're going to be better. So, so really and truly, the treatments are not for the virus. They're not curative at all. They're more for the symptoms so that they help you to be less miserable when you have these viral infections. The thing about the cough associated with viral infections is that they can last for up to 6 weeks. So you have this annoying dry cough, and in some cases it might become wet. You have this annoying cough and you've had the flu or whichever viral infection you might have had. You would have had it all the way back in April. That's 6 weeks ago, May, June, July. Let's call it May. You would have had it back in May. And then 6 weeks down the road, you're still coughing, but the cough can last for up to 6 weeks. So that's something that we really do need to be mindful of, that you can have a cough after you've had a virus or a cold for up to about 6 weeks. But these coughs are usually benign and they usually go away and you're back to normal. We'll jump from the upper respiratory tract now and we go down to the smaller airway passages, the bronchioles, which are in the lung itself. Let's talk about asthma, one of the most common respiratory conditions that's prevalent in this country, Barbados. In this day and age, really and truly, deaths due to asthma should not be happening. There are so many treatments available. There are so many free treatments available, and I say free in inverted commas. It's free at the point of care, but the money comes out of the pockets of the persons who pay taxes and the government and whatever else. So we really must be thankful for the healthcare system that we have. Please be mindful to use the healthcare system advisedly. Don't waste the inhalers. Don't take medication if you have medication at home. Don't take the prescription from the doctor and go and shove it somewhere and not go. You would have wasted the whole visit at the doctor. So be mindful of that. Proper use of the healthcare resources. One of the first telling signs of uncontrolled asthma is a cough. It's usually a nighttime cough. It's usually a dry cough. And it's usually relieved by use of the rescue medication and proper use of your maintenance medication. We will do asthma on another show. That's something that I'm working on, getting someone in who is well aware, well au fait with the treatment and management of asthma. So you don't wait until you are huffing and puffing as an asthmatic to try to get down to accident and emergency. And this is a good time to remind those persons that the treatment at accident and emergency with respect to COVID-19 protocols is that you're going to be treated with a metered dose inhaler, which for some persons is the puff. One of the annoying things for doctors and for pharmacists is that persons don't know the names of their inhalers. Make the effort, all those of you who are listening, to learn the names of your inhalers, and in addition, learn the functions of the inhaler. Learn why you need to be on this particular one, when you need to use it, how you need to use it, what you need to do before you use it, what you need to do after you use it. So we'll go into all of this when we deal with asthma as a separate topic. So it's usually a nighttime cough, usually worse at nighttime. It can also be worsened by activity. It can be worsened by pollutants in the air, such as smoke and dust, change in weather, emotions, look out for that cough is usually the first telling sign that the control of asthma is not what it should be. So we're on to another topic. I am going to give you some earth-shattering news, Gretchen. Believe it, right? This is earth-shattering news. Are you ready?
I'm listening.
I hope that everybody has their ears close to the radio. We all have sinuses.
Well, I thought I knew that. Anyhow, go ahead, Doc.
It is amazing the number of persons who would come into the office, whether it be public or private. Doc, I have sinuses. And usually I would say, oh, so do I. And we have sinuses for a good reason. Even although they're persons who are hard-headed and thick-skulled, the reason we have sinuses is to make our heads lighter. They're actually air spaces in different bones within the skull. And that makes the head lighter. Can you imagine if you had to walk around with an entire dense head? So all the heavy bones in your skull, that there were no air spaces or sinuses.
Don't you get the impression? That would be difficult. Don't you ever get the impression that some people still do walk around with that sort of description you just mentioned? I digress, but go ahead, Doc.
Well, I remember that there was a gentleman who was amused by the fact that females especially would shave their eyebrows off and then put the line back with pencil in the same position. And this individual said that the only reason some people had a head is that hair would look ridiculous on a neck. I don't know. Okay, well, I must say, it has to be the public holidays. I'm just feeling very relaxed.
You're a happy camper today.
I am, in some regards. But let's get back to the sinuses. So one of the purposes of the sinuses is actually to make the skull lighter. Another purpose is for resonation. So if you notice that when you are congested, your voice sounds completely different and you sound like something like that, as opposed to how clear I sound. Yes, that's the purpose of the sinuses as well, for resonance. And another purpose of the sinuses is for they're lined with a special mucus lining, which has the function of making sure the pollutants don't get, because we are breathing in air and all these different particles are coming in through the air. So this mucus helps to prevent infection. It helps to prevent adverse effects from the pollutants that would be in the air. And it's usually less than a liter and it actually drips down to the back of the throat. And more often than not, you don't notice it. But when the sinuses become inflamed, you notice the dripping. So you would get the dripping at the back of your throat. And one of the things that happens when something triggers that cough reflex, that dripping triggers the cough reflex, and you have no choice but to cough. For some persons, the dripping is so terrible that sometimes at night, their sinuses start to drip and they feel as though they're choking. Mind you, there are other causes for getting that choking sensation at night. So don't assume that the choking sensation that you're getting at night is your sinuses. It could be a heart attack. It could be obstructive sleep apnea. So don't necessarily assume, because I'm sure there's some persons who have died from their sinuses choking them when it was a massive heart attack that they might have been having. So never assume, never assume. So it's when the excess mucus is dripping, you can feel it dripping and it causes you to just cough and cough and cough. And sometimes these people have a productive cough or a wet cough because they're trying to clear all of that mucus out of the back of their throats, out of their sinuses, trying to clear from everywhere. So you know there are those persons who you hear snorting and you see them scratching their ears, and I can't get the snorting thing done at all, thankfully. Because that's one of the things that I really couldn't do in medical school. I only did it because I needed to do it. You know, the suction that you have to do when you have to try to get secretions? Let's not even talk about that. So there may... I'm unable.
Not a pleasant topic. That's one of those things...
No.
But I'm very, very aware of the coughing with regards to the sinus problem. Because mine usually affect me on mornings. As soon as I step out of the shower, psh, there you go.
And one of the things is that there are some persons who suffer with sinus inflammation and excess mucus production, and they don't know it. And they would calmly be sitting down, they're talking to you, and they're like, and going on like nobody's business. But what they're doing is an automatic reflex to prevent the mucus from going. Well, the mucus that's dripping down is actually irritating the back of their throat, and they don't even recognize it. It's just become for them a reflex. So sometimes I ask a patient, so do you suffer with your sinuses dripping? Oh, no, my sinuses don't drip. I said, so how often do you have to clear your throat like that? Oh, I just feel something tickling me in the back of my throat. Oh, okay. And then that's an opportunity for education. So remember, we all have sinuses. That was the groundbreaking news today. We all have sinuses. The purpose of the sinuses would be to lighten the skull as well as for resonance so that our voices sound nice and clear. And the sinuses are different shapes and sizes in different persons. So they're definitely not the same shape. Maybe that's why we have different sounding voices. Maybe. And they're also there to produce mucus.
Yeah.
You were saying something?
Yeah, the question for you, the term sinusitis. Explain that for listeners, please.
One of the things in medicine is the suffix itis. Itis means inflammation of. So sinusitis would be an inflammation of the lining of the sinuses. So not everybody that has a postnasal drip has per se a sinusitis, because I believe when you more say sinusitis, you're more inclined. The thinking is more infection than anything else. So postnasal dripping is not necessarily an infection. That's the other thing that we have to remember. So not all the dripping is caused as a result of an infection, but an infection of the sinuses can lead to increased postnasal drip, right? I'm thinking of another itis, pancreatitis, for example, would be inflammation of the pancreas. Right, so you understand what itis means. It means inflammation of. In some cases, it's as a result of irritation. I'm not talking about the pancreas, I'm talking about itis. It might be as a result of an irritation. It might be as a result of an infection. There are numerous causes for itis. So when you hear itis, it usually means inflammation. And another thing that we need to correct in terms of our education here in Barbados is inflammation. When we hear inflammation, we automatically think us, and we call it inflammation in Barbados.
Yes. You are absolutely correct.
Yes. Right. So we need to understand that there are some particular features of inflammation, namely redness in those persons who are fair enough that you can see red. There's usually pain. There's usually swelling and increased warmth in that area that is particularly inflamed. So that's itis, inflammation of. So that's what sinusitis is. So sinusitis can be as a result of infection or irritation or a myriad of other causes, So not all sinus drips are as a result of sinus infection. And usually those persons whose sinuses are infected would be those persons who would have done the over-the-counter preparations, and they would have tried the home remedies like the peppermint oil and those things in hot water, and tried steam inhalation, and tried the decongestants and antihistamines, and it's not working. The symptoms are still there. And usually persons who say that their sinuses are bothering them, they usually give a description that their head feels full, that they sense a pressure in the head. And depending on which sinuses, because there are four pairs, there's a maxillary around the cheek, there's a sphenoid near the sphenoid bone, there's ethmoid, and there's frontal sinuses. So the names are given based on where the sinuses are located. And therefore the symptoms would be as a result of where the particular sinus is affected. So for example, a maxillary sinus infection or inflammation in that sinus might cause cheek pain, or it might cause pain in the eye, depending on where it's located, as opposed to the frontal sinuses being infected, and that might tend to cause more of a frontal headache. So different symptoms for different sinuses being affected. So where were we? Oh, we were still in the upper respiratory tract. Yes, remembering that the upper respiratory tract was everything above the vocal cords. The lower respiratory tract is everything below the vocal cords. No, I just did something. I'm going to tell everybody in Barbados what I just did. Right? I just took my glasses off. And I am here trying to read the categories that I have listed on the piece of paper that I have in front of me. I'm thinking to myself, but seriously though, oh my goodness gracious me.
Somebody was talking about the University of Waterford not too long ago. I know you'd come by sides before the program was up, but it's all right.
But you see, that's why I didn't have to tell you that, Grayson. I was just leveling the playing field.
I see. Put your glasses on, dog. You have them on? Yes, they're on. Yes.
They're on. So off we go again with cough. We are in on the Better Health Radio Show. We're discussing cough. What might just be a simple symptom to some can be the harbinger of something that is really serious. Let's talk about medication. There is a particular type of drug which is used for treating hypertension. They're called ACE inhibitors. And usually when you look at the name, you will see the suffix or the ending pril, P-R-I-L. And these cause what we call an ACE cough. They're called ACE inhibitors and they cause an ACE cough. And that ACE cough can start within hours from the start of the medication, or the ACE cough can be months after the medication has started. And once you discover that it's the medication that's causing the cough, you would find that within 1 to 4 weeks, the cough disappears. And this is one of the coughs that's a dry, irritating cough. One of the things that patients tend to do is that they experiment with their medications. They find that they have a side effect, and what they do is try to figure out which one is causing the particular side effect, which is essentially the same thing that the doctor would do as well. However, most patients, when they find the offending medication, if that is the case, would stop the medication. Now, if you were placed on this medication for a particular reason, whether it be an ACE inhibitor or another medication that's causing a cough, the responsibility of the patient is to say to the doctor, I've discovered that this medication is having these side effects on me and I'm not able to deal with these side effects. Is there another way that we can treat this particular thing? Is there another drug that can be used in its place? Is there a natural remedy that can be used? Because believe it or not, doctors are not against natural remedies. That's one of the shows that we are definitely going to have, alternative therapies. We are not against natural remedies. What we need is scientific evidence. That's all. We have a call. Let's take that call.
Yes, I do believe you have a call. Good evening.
Good evening.
Yes, please.
Good evening to you, Doctor.
Hi, good evening.
I want to, first of all, thank you for the information you brought to the public based on the research that I had given you a couple of weeks ago. With reference to the people that can't feel. But the other thing I want to mention to you, Doctor, about coughs are, you know, a cough can build up like a sneeze. True or not?
You get the sensation that you want to cough, but you don't cough immediately.
Right, and it can build up, and then all of a sudden you start coughing. Like, for example, when you get to that stage, I think the best thing for a cough is mint. If you have a mint, you suck a mint, so you can moisturize the throat, the cough kind of like goes away. Have you found that to be so?
Well, my question, the clinician that I am, is going to be, what is the underlying cause of the cough?
Well, if you have a normal cold, what we Bajans like to call a fresh cold, and it's going away from you, it leaves you with a dry cough. And then sometimes you might be in the bus, and that dry cough come on you, and you start a cough like you're barking and everybody looking around at you. So the way to deal with that, Doc, it sounds sporty, but it's a fact. The way to deal with that is to suck a mint. Put a nice, strong mint, something like a brown mint or one of those blue mints, a strong mint. And I find that it moisturizes the throat enough to stop you from coughing.
Well, I've had the experience whereby a mint could sometimes soothe the throat as well. I would give him that. I'm not saying it's the
Well, I'm thinking maybe the properties of the menthol as well as saliva production that would be soothing the cough.
Sometimes it does soothe the throat indeed. I would give him that.
Okay, Doc, thanks. All right, Gregston.
All right, sir. Thank you for your call.
Thank you for calling.
You started the ball rolling because I think we've got another caller, Doc. Go ahead, Doc.
Good evening.
Hi, good evening, Wexon, and good evening to the doctor.
Yes, sir. Welcome.
Hi, good evening.
Yeah, I'd like to pose a few questions. I'll pose the questions and then hang up, huh? Could you clarify for me what exactly do you mean by a dry cough? That's one question. You said that you did not particularly like anatomy at medical school, but could you clarify what exactly is the G-spot in the human body? 3, you spoke of the purpose of sinuses. When you speak of purpose, are you inferring that we were made by a conscious creator? And lastly, you spoke of one of the things that happens when mucus drips down the throat. I heard the doctor herself say that she's a bit of a grammar buff. I want to suggest to you that that should have been one of the things that happen and not one of the things that happens. I'll hang up and listen to your responses, please.
Before you go, we want to make sure we have all four queries.
I have all four.
All right, caller, thank you kindly for your comments and questions.
Thank you as well.
You're welcome, sir. All right.
Okay, let's deal with the last one first. I'm saying one of the things that happens. So the subject is one of, and therefore a singular noun needs a singular verb. One happens. It's a group. There is a discussion as to whether or not one of should always be followed by a singular verb. But when I went to school, it was one of and happens. What I will do is speak with a primary school teacher to clarify that, but
because we
to
know,
this point,
because we know you won't let that die there.
Correct. The second thing is the G spot. Mm-hmm. When I said that we were going to be discussing the lower respiratory tract being defined as those centers below the vocal cords, I was not going as far as the G-spot, even although technically it is below the vocal cords if you are thinking anatomically. The G-spot, there is, again, in medicine, persons do not believe that the G-spot exists. I am not aware of the exact anatomical position, again, simply because anatomy was one of those things that was necessary for medical school, and I did what, with respect to anatomy, what was necessary at the time, and I am still current with the anatomy that involves my day-to-day care of patients. What I can do for you, sir, is do some research on the G-spot to find out its proposed location, whether or not it really does exist physically, whether science agrees that it's there or it is not there, whether it is something that's in the mind, mm-hmm. whether it has to do with the prowess of the individuals who are involved. We will research that for you. And like I did for the previous gentleman, when I finish my research, I will come back to you.
That's two.
You see, that was two. Mm-hmm. Oh, I forgot.
I told you.
All four, but it was the grammar one that I got all excited about, that the other two flew out of my head.
Right, I'm here trying to remember the other two. We have another caller on the line, I do believe.
So we'll ask him to call back.
And get the other two?
The
other two, all right.
Yes.
And this time, one of us will note it down. This time, one of us
I'll
will
let
note
that
it
be
down.
You.
Yeah. Good evening, you're good, on the good air.
Evening. Good evening.
Yes, please, Ben
Alfredo
Show.
I have sinuses that I do. And when it's greater than right, it's brandy sinuses. But anyway, I cannot smell certain soap, so I can't smell smoke, and nothing like that. It does affect me.
All right, the doctor has heard your comment.
Yes,
you want to respond,
and this, this is a classic example. That is proof of exactly what I was saying, because her first statement was, I have sinuses really bad. That's the first thing she said, which my response would have been, yes, we all have sinuses, but we don't all suffer from the problems with the sinuses. And she did give some of the causes for our sinuses being infected. Strong scents like perfumes and smoke. And different allergens are those things that would cause those persons who tend to be affected by, sorry about that, those persons who suffer with their sinuses to be affected. And she brought another valid point as well. each patient is individual. So she mentioned turmeric. Turmeric might work for her as an alternative therapy, but turmeric might not do anything for another person, and perhaps for another individual, that might be something that causes their sinus problems to be even worse. So each person, their treatment has to be individualized.
All right, caller, thank you for your comment, and have a good evening.
Good evening.
All right, take care. Doc, we've got another call on the line. Let's see if it's the same gentleman calling back to remind you. Good evening.
Yes, hi, good evening, sir. Here am I again, a bit of a...
Wonderful.
Right. Now, the two questions. First of all, just a quick point on the issue of grammar. The doctor said, speaking of one thing, but one in this context really is an adjective, and one really means one thing of the things. Which things? The things that happen. So even though you're speaking of one thing, you're speaking of one thing singular of a group plural, and then happens qualifies things. In other words, you're saying one of the things that happen. Well, that's just thrown up there for discussion. The other question was, what exactly does one mean when one speaks of a dry cough? Right. And lastly, just a brief comment. You in your presentation, you spoke of the purpose of sinuses. Should I take the use of the word purpose in that context as implying and accepting that there must have been a conscious creator, as opposed to many scientists who argue that we came about as a result of inorganic evolution? I'll hang up. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
You wrote them down, Grayston?
Pardon?
Did you write them down?
Yes, Dreykov. What exactly? And then the conscious creator, he's asking if that suggests that there's one.
Let's deal with the dry cough first. I divided it into dry and wet for easy classification. And it really has to do with the production of mucus or phlegm. So a dry cough would just be a tickling, irritating cough, and really there's no production of mucus or phlegm or any other liquids from the body. Whereas a wet cough is a productive cough, meaning that there is mucus and it might be a variety of colors, anywhere from clear all the way to brown, depending on the cause of the underlying cough. So that's the difference between a dry cough and a wet cough.
All right.
The purpose of the Better Health Radio show is education on health. And even although the definition of health itself speaks about social, mental, physical components, one of the things that we try to stay true to on the radio show is the provision of information as regards medical information. Therefore, opinions on politics, opinions on religion, under which creation might fall, depending on how you look at it, would not be a subject that would be discussed on the radio show, because whilst it might lend for a very healthy and robust discussion, mm-hmm. it really is not the purview of the show and what it represents. Or perhaps we would have to have, you know how you have those committee meetings that are not in the usual schedule of the regular meetings? Perhaps we can, after discussion, of course, with the other persons who are involved with the show, we can entertain that. But for right now, I would have to reserve my answer to that question, on the grounds that I might incriminate myself. No, I'm just kidding about that part.
I like the diplomatic way you answered the question, but if the gentleman asked me, I'd say yes, because I believe he's a conscious creator. So who doesn't like that? Well, too bad for them. That's just my opinion. But I understand what you were saying in terms of keeping it medical, so I appreciate that. But that was just me pitching in my little piece there on that particular question. We've got another call on the line. Go ahead.
What I was going to say is that it really is a challenge, because one of the things that we are told in medicine is that our beliefs are simply those, our beliefs.
Correct.
We are not allowed to impose
mm-hmm.
our beliefs and opinions on patients. Mm-hmm. So I stand by that. I have my very strong beliefs about the subject, but I stand by my previous answer.
Very well, no problem. We've got another call on the line. Good evening.
Yes, good evening. This is Anthony Hope here. Good evening to you, Gregston, and the doc.
Thank you, sir.
Hi, good evening, Mr. Hope.
I'm not calling about a biological reference. I'm calling about the grammatical reference. In Concord, you say one of the boys is, not one of the boys are, just like one of the things happens. You are grammatically correct. You don't say the subject is one, and in Concord, the subject and verb agreement. So if you have a singular subject, you must carry a singular verb. And happens is the singular verb.
Okay, Mr. Hope. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your contribution, sir.
You're welcome.
All right. All right, Doc, you can continue.
Let's talk about pneumonia. Pneumonia, so we are talking about the lower respiratory tract. Again, what's the defining line for upper and lower respiratory tracts?
You say below the vocal cords.
Yes, very good.
I am so taken aback by this young lady. Thank you for the applause. As if I'm so happy he got it right, because he would never get it right.
You said it, not me.
Thank you kindly. And above the vocal cords is the upper respiratory.
Yes. Have you learned something this evening? I've achieved my purpose. You've learned something.
I listened to you very carefully. Go ahead.
Yes, because we are beginning to go into our last 15 minutes. So let's talk about the lower respiratory tract infection. And lower respiratory tract, as Greg Preston has rightly said, would be anything below the vocal cords. So let's talk about pneumonia. I think back in the old days, it used to be called consumption. Somebody who's a little older can call in and correct me. But it is inflammation of the bronchioles and the alveoli, those small airways that are infected. And there are many causes for pneumonia. So you can have a viral pneumonia, which is what we are seeing with the current COVID-19. You can have pneumonia as a result of fungi. You can have it as a result of bacteria. And perhaps if you ingest different things like different toxic chemicals and so on, but that can also lead to inflammation of the lower airways. So there are many causes for a pneumonia. The thing about pneumonia is that the effects of a pneumonia depend really on a couple of things. For example, at the extremes of age, so a newborn baby, for example, who does not have a very strong immune system, because the immune system in newborns, is passive immunity coming from their mother, and they begin to develop their own immune system as time goes on. So their immune system is not fully developed, and they're at risk for developing serious infections. So just because somebody doesn't want you to touch their child, it's not that they don't really like you, it's that they're trying to protect their child until he or she has had some significant vaccinations.
All right.
But to the other end of this...
I beg your pardon, I interrupted you. Before you continue on pneumonia, I'm sorry I missed the opening salvo on that particular topic because it was on the line. Mr. Husband, Skin Husband's called to agree with you and Anthony Hope on the grammar situation. So that's two in your corner so far. And we do have a call on the line if you wish to engage.
Okay, I'm going to do that as soon as I talk about the other extreme of age.
All right, so you're going to talk about that and then come back to the caller?
Yes, and then we'll take the call.
All right.
So we were just comparing the underlying causes. Yes. So that train of thought would have been the extremes of age. So we were discussing just now about the young newborns who don't have a fully developed immune system. And then we go all the other way to the end of the spectrum, to the elderly, some of whom their immune system would have started to slow down as a result of age, as a result of perhaps underlying diseases. So they too are susceptible to the different types of pneumonia. Let's take the call.
Good evening. Are you with us?
Hi, good evening.
Yes, please. Thanks for holding.
I just wanted to ask if what is the purpose of the tonsils in protecting the inside of the body?
He asked, what is the purpose of the tonsils in protecting the inside of the body?
Yeah.
That's your question, right, sir?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes, please. Go ahead, Doc.
Okay, so the tonsils are part of the, I'd like to say the lymphoid system. They're part of the immune system in the body, and their purpose is to fight infection. The type of tissue that's in the tonsils, they are responsible for getting rid of bacteria, fungi, any of those things that are in, that get into the upper respiratory tract. One of the things with the tonsils is that there are some persons who, for whatever reason, seem to get their tonsils inflamed several times in a year. And sometimes, again, because of quality of life, frequent infections and painful sore throats and development of abscesses and so on, their tonsils have to be removed. one of the good things is that by removing person's tonsils, you really don't, you don't kill them. Well, otherwise we really wouldn't remove them. So you don't lose your ability to fight infection as a human being if your tonsils are taken out. As a matter of fact, it's a better quality of life if you are not getting frequent infections in your tonsils, and it's painful and uncomfortable, especially for the younger children. I mean, it's painful for adults too, but can you imagine, you're unable to swallow, you have a fever and cough and all of these things. So if the doctor decides, along with the parents and other relatives, that it is better because you're getting these frequent infections and your quality of life is not good, then perhaps it is better to remove the tonsils. But that's not just a one-sided decision that's made at all. It's after discussion and explanation and so on.
All right, caller, satisfied with that? All right, thank you kindly then. All right, thanks, take care. All right, Doc, we're moving on nicely, just about 2 minutes after 7. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, we were talking about pneumonia, and we talked about the underlying causes, and we talked about the extremes of age. And another thing that we find with pneumonia is that those persons who have an impaired immune system for whatever reason, they also are more susceptible to developing a pneumonia. So, for example, some person who has a person who has AIDS, whose immune system is lowered, their fighting ability is not as good as another person who is not infected with the HIV, that person is more susceptible to a pneumonia. But it's not only those persons who have AIDS, HIV, who are susceptible to pneumonia. Persons who have diabetes, they have impaired immune systems, and which is why within our current COVID-19 criteria, those persons are placed on the list of persons who are at high risk of developing the COVID-19 complications. And any other cause for depressing your immune system. So if you have an underlying condition, for example, that requires you to take steroids, perhaps lupus or rheumatoid arthritis, or you're on chemotherapy, all of these different things can depress your immune system and make you more susceptible to developing a pneumonia. The thing about pneumonia is those patients who have pneumonia tend to be more ill. So you get fever, you get chills, you get a cough, you get a productive cough with various colors of mucus. And this is where I want to stick in a plug about blood. Blood is a very specialized fluid. And the thing about blood is that it has its own carrying vessel. The arteries and the veins. So all throughout your body, your blood is contained in these vessels. That's where blood is supposed to be. Now, outside of that category would be women and young females who are within the reproductive years who are still having monthly periods. This is another earth-shattering and piece of breaking news. Unless you are a menstruating female, there is no reason that blood, that specialized fluid, which has its own carrying capacity, should be seen on the outside of your body. Therefore, if blood is coming from your nose, your ears, your throat, your bottom, and you're not having a period, and you're seeing blood from your vagina, you're seeing blood in your urine, you need to see a doctor. You cannot stay home and have blood passing from your bottom for 3 days, hoping that it will go away. It's not normal. Anytime blood is coming from a hole from which it is not to come, something is wrong. That's today's lesson.
I think we've learned that one very clearly.
Yes, and it's usually, the causes are not always malignant, but there is something wrong. You need to get it sorted out. Better earlier than later. So we spoke about, let's recap. We spoke about what a cough is. It's a reflex mechanism, and it's there to prevent us from dying from choking, for example, but also to get different allergens out of our respiratory tract, whether that be upper or lower. We defined what the respiratory tract division was for upper and lower. That would be the vocal cords, which we can't see from the outside. We spoke about some of the more common causes for cough, that being the normal run-of-the-mill viral infections, rotavirus, the flu, those other infections, and in the current climate in which we find ourselves, COVID-19, as one of the, it is one of the presenting symptoms for that viral infection. There's bronchitis. We spoke about pneumonia, a lower respiratory tract infection. We put a plug in there for the asthmatics, reminding them to learn about their inhalers and the uses and which is which and why they need to be on them. And we also spoke about the changes in the accident and emergency department with respect to the management of acute asthma attacks. And we're going to take this call, and then we'll continue our summary, and then we'll do our final words.
Yeah, it looks like we've got two calls here in waiting, and another one there going off. So let's see.
I hope there are no more grammar calls.
We find out. We've got two calls on hold, so let's go with one first. Who will we engage first?
Hello.
Hello. Good evening.
Hi, good evening.
Yes, go ahead, please. The doc can hear you.
I just want to call in respect to vaccines. On the topic of vaccines, wouldn't it be more sensible to make a vaccine that is taken through the mouth instead of injecting a vaccine in a person's hand? Because it's said that the virus is respiratory. So would it make sense to have the vaccine go through the mouth rather than entering directly into the body, so that it could activate the immune system?
That's a very good question, sir. Whenever you take a drug, and that drug can be a vaccine, it can be food. Food is a drug. It can be vitamins. Whatever you put into your system, two things happen. That drug does something to the body, and the body does something to that drug. So the drug is going to do whatever it was created to do, and the body has the response of providing the particular immune cells that the body will recognize later on when the infection comes again. And that's pretty much how a vaccine works. What happens is that the way the vaccines are made, if they were taken by mouth, they would be destroyed. There's something called bioavailability, meaning how much of a drug becomes available after it's taken. So a drug like paracetamol, for example, if we take this by mouth and we take it with food, it does not work. It needs to be taken on an empty stomach. So each drug is different in the way it's created and the way the body responds to the drug and the way that it and the way it acts on the body. For example, medication for hemophilia. It would be wonderful if the medication for hemophilia, which is a bleeding disorder, could be taken by mouth. However, by the time the medication gets into the mouth and into the stomach, it's destroyed, and therefore it is not effective. And therefore, medications like that have to be given in the veins. So scientists have discovered that the best way to produce an immune response from the various vaccines is to give it by injection. And actually, the polio vaccine is given by mouth. So it just has to do with how the vaccines are made. And if there are any of my colleagues out there who are listening, and there is another reason of which I'm not remembering, of which I'm not aware at this point in time, you can always call in and chip in.
Okay, caller. Satisfied? Hello?
I think I was satisfied.
All right, wonderful. Let's move on to the other caller then, before time runs out on us. Good evening. You're listening to the Better Health Radio Show. Your host is Dr. Renee Boyce.
Yeah, Gregston and Dr. Boyce. I call back to ask you something, Dr. Boyce. It is said that if you keep clearing your throat, like this, like the demonstration you made earlier, that kind of thing, often enough, that it can be, it can, that can also be a sign of cancer in the throat. How true is that?
Cough is one of the signs for cancer in the throat. There are so many different ways that cancers present, because I'm quite sure if we knew all the ways a particular cancer presented, we would say, oh, this symptom is here, then that must be an underlying cancer. And actually, in my final statements, I was going to mention about lung cancer being one of the causes of cancer, and to mention that it's not only smokers that get lung cancer, but other individuals get lung cancer as well. So whatever your symptom is, the best thing to do is not to stay home and assume. We still have a free public healthcare system, and if you're concerned about whatever symptom it is in your body, make sure that you seek medical attention. Don't stay home and assume. Doctors went to school, nurses went to school for just that reason. Yes?
Let me say this to you. I asked that question, right? Because I listen to a doctor named Gerard Thompson in St. Vincent every Wednesday night. He has a program very similar to yours. Mm-hmm. And now you are speaking about the throat. I remember him saying that anytime you've got to be clearing your throat all the time, that is cause for concern because it can mean throat cancer. And I haven't heard you say anything about it, so I decided I would bring it up.
Yes, well, you got there before me because it was on my list.
All right.
Oh, okay.
Thank you, caller. Right, thank you. Sorry for rushing you off, but I've got two other callers. Well, one has left, so let's see. Oh, come back again. So let's see if we can get them in quickly because I don't want to leave them hanging, you see. So let's try this one and see if we can say, good evening, Better Health Radio Show.
Hi, good evening.
Yes, please. Go ahead and talk to you.
Right. I am calling because...
Oh, my goodness me. No, I would... I think that's my fault. So if the gentleman can get back in, I'd be very happy because I feel badly. I think I disconnected him. Let's try this next one here then and see what happens on this one. Caller, if you do hear me, please, I apologize. That was my fault, not yours. So if you can get back in quickly before we close, I'll be happy. I apologize to you. Good evening.
Good evening.
Yes, very quickly, my dear.
Peace be on to each and everyone.
Likewise
I want
you.
To say something to the doctor. Adenoids and tonsils is the same thing?
No, they're not. No.
I have a relative who, when she was a child, at night would sometimes she'd stop breathing for a little while, and it used to bother me. And on morning's bed, get up a lot of white phlegm on the pillow, and I asked to get surgery, and I found out that I shouldn't got the surgery because it wasn't good to do. We should have treated it. But at night I used to be scared because she just stopped breathing, and they said it was adenoids. And I said well, I wouldn't like that at night. Then she don't wake up at all. So I took her to the doctor, and the doctor said, well, they would get them get surgery. She got surgery. But no, I don't like how she talks, and I think sometimes she usually get infection. But I was speaking to a herbalist, and he told me, no, we should have treated it instead of, getting the surgery. And I feel sorry now. But I used to be scared because sometimes she would stop breathing for a little while. I wouldn't hear nothing. Or when she's sleeping at night, I watching her, and I would be here snoring. And then all of a sudden, you ain't hear nothing for a little while. She would just stop breathing. And I got scared and took her to the doctor, and we got surgery.
Well, the adenoids are like the tonsils in that they're part of the system that protects from getting infections, but they're located in different structure, they're in different locations. What I can say to you very quickly is that what you need to do is if there's ever a problem after you've had a procedure or there's something that's concerning you, this is what I'm trying to get across to persons. You don't just sit down and suffer in silence. If you think that there's something wrong with her voice after the surgery or...
Nothing wrong with the voice, but sometimes she gets infections, and I find that she put on a lot of weight. So I wonder...
And one of the things that happens... No. One of the things that happened, and this happened to a friend of mine, her daughter refused to eat. She was not eating. When they took out the child's adenoids and they were huge, she ate her mother out of house and land. Right, because it's very they're uncomfortable. They're huge, like you say. They cause this loud snoring noise, and and it can actually block off the nasal passages.
Yeah,
so that's why those people tend to breathe with their mouth open, mouth breathing. Mm-hmm. That's what they do. But if you're concerned about any reason, go ahead, make an appointment with a doctor, and have those concerns addressed.
Okay, all right. Thank you very much. God bless and stay safe. Travel safely.
Thank you, and you have a wonderful evening as well.
You too.
I'm going to hope that this caller is caller who called earlier. We'll find out. Good evening.
Hello, good evening.
Were you the gentleman that I disconnected not too long ago?
Yes.
You are the person?
Yes, I am.
Well, I apologize again to you. I'm glad you got back in.
So I'll ask the question. I was asking the doc whether or not she's aware of the fact that there are persons who bleed through the navel. and
You said breathe. Clear that for
bleed,
me.
Bleed.
Bleed. Okay. I thought you said breathe. Huh?
Right.
Okay.
No.
All right. Bleed through the navel. Uh huh.
Yes. And that is usually because of endometriosis.
Right. So endometriosis is one of those conditions where there is abnormal tissue that should be within the uterine cavity, and it's located in different places in the body. There have actually been endometrial deposits that have been found as far as the brain. And again, sir, that goes exactly back to my point. If blood is coming from somewhere that it should not be coming from, or from which it should not be coming, to be grammatically correct, then that individual, and it has to be female, she needs to see a doctor.
Yeah.
Right? So we know the cause for that bleeding. We know that there is a cause. We know that there's a cause. And you're speaking about the individuals who are having bleeding and they stay home and do nothing about it.
Right. Well, I thank you because I asked because this is not the first time that it has been mentioned about bleeding, but none of the time it was said about bleeding through the navel. This is the unusual player.
Yeah, it's unusual because there is an underlying cause. So that the diagnosis has been made is endometriosis. So we know where one of the deposits is. And every time she has a monthly cycle, wherever the deposits are, they would bleed as well.
Thank you.
All right, sir.
You are welcome. And thank you for calling. It was very interesting.
Thank you, ma'am.
You're welcome. All right. I'm bleeding through the navel. Like your doc says, if blood is coming from somewhere it's not supposed to be, you need to see your physician.
Right. That's the important thing. I think that's where we are, Kristen.
Yeah. One other WhatsApper said that he agreed with you with regards to the grammar. So that's another person in your corner. And I know you're very happy about that. I can see the smile on your face. We're out of time.
Kristen, there is no...
I'm sorry.
There is nobody
go ahead.
In this world. There is nobody in this world, when I smile, that can miss the smile.
The others can't see it, but I can, so. what is in store for us next week? Even though I may not be here, what is in store for us?
You have no idea. Not that I don't have any idea. I have really tried to be diligent and tried to get ahead of the planning curve and so on. I have the individuals, I have persons in place and so on. But you know what? I think I like the surprise. But what I want to say, what I do want to say is that what I want the callers to do, perhaps we'll take a few minutes next week. Think about the topics that you want us to discuss, those questions that you want to have answered. And we will also frame our presentations around those topics. Because if you have it as a question, more than likely there's somebody else in the island who has that same question and would benefit from the information. So think about those topics you want to have. And it would be wrong of me if I did not take these last few seconds to remind us that we should be washing our hands for at least 20 seconds with soap and water. And if no soap and water is available, we should use a hand sanitizer, which is at least 60% alcohol based. We should try to keep our hands away from our mouths, our eyes, and our noses. Whilst it is not law, it is recommended that individuals do wear a face covering, whether that be a mask. And remember that we are leaving the particular surgical masks and the N95 masks for those who are involved in the medical profession. Try your best to maintain that physical distance from individuals when you go about your daily business, and try your best to be safe.
All right, Doc, thank you kindly. We always appreciate the fact that you come here. You are not paid. I want to stress that to the listening public. We do not pay her for this. She gives of her time freely. We appreciate it very kindly, and I'm always happy to be here with you. So, God's willing, next week you'll come and give us another presentation of the Better Health Radio Show. Thank you, Doc.
Thank you too, Grayston, and thanks to our listeners and everyone. Enjoy your holiday tomorrow and be safe.
Tomorrow is a holiday. I didn't. I
was it not, is.
I'm so out of the loop. Oh, well.
Guys, you just opened the door. You the University of Waterford.
You're going to go back there again, dog. It didn't end so well for you last time. But anyhow, yes, thanks for reminding me. Tomorrow's a holiday, so there's a bigger smile on my face now. Have a good evening, dog. Thanks again.
Bye.
All right, bye-bye.